Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. A very warm welcome to our visitors worshipping with us today, especially if this is your first time at Emmanuel. Please do please make yourself known to us afterwards. Welcome also to anyone listening to this service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it helps you to feel part of our fellowship. Our service today will be led by our minister Robert and Jeff on the organ. Our Bible reading this morning will be done by David Bevan, and the prayers of intercession this morning will be done by John Blakesley. I think most of the notices you'll find in the weekly news, so I won't sort of repeat any of them. So I will now light the Christ candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. We gather here as part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches, together with the other two churches that have begun their service already. They're halfway through it, but we celebrate together our togetherness in this, and we also remember that we are part of the Fellowship of God's Children everywhere. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Words of Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, and I will observe them with my whole heart. Today you have three sources of singing. The Emmanuel Worship Book, the orange one, which opens and closes our service. Then sing praise, then rejoice and sing. So no hymn book will feel today they have been left in a dark corner, forgotten and not loved. Our first hymn today, we begin our service, Joyfully, Joyfully. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. From Emmanuel Worship Book number 23, we will omit verse 4.
Thank you.
we light the two unlit candles for the moment, and I want to draw attention to the fact that the peace candle now enters its 52nd to 53rd week. That means to say we've been lighting it for over a year. And we light the candle in the midst of the conflicts that seem to continue and continue, and the destruction of lives and hopes and a future for a generation. The second candle I light is our amnesty candle. We present to you, as we do regularly, a new case. Dorjelese Ngesan from Cameroon. And I know that some people fill in the form electronically, but some don't or prefer not to. So for those of you who prefer not to, there is the letter to the President of the Republic of Cameroon that you can sign. I've signed it already to assure you that it is legitimate. And you can either sign the letter, which will be sent, or you can fill in the form electronically. But we remember those who suffer in different parts of the world for the defense of human rights. We now have a moment of prayer, which we will end with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, Creator, Sustainer, God of life and love, we're surrounded by brokenness, and we begin today our prayer with confession. We get used to brokenness. It doesn't surprise us as it should. It doesn't horrify us as it should. War between Ukraine and Russia. Human rights in their violations. We take them as normal. That's what happens in life. But it's not your will. And we pray. Pray for each of these cases, for the people that are suffering. And we pray for ourselves that we may not become insensitive to the brokenness around us. Forgive us when this happens, and through the power of the Spirit, enlighten us, so that we may shine, that we may learn, that we may be part of change. God, in your infinite wisdom, you created all things to live in harmony. You chose to make us in the image of the Creator of the cosmos, born of the same imagination and lovingly crafted from the same dust. You breathed all peoples into being, blessing us with talents and gifts different to each of us. A tapestry of cultures and stories interwoven in your story of all creation. We thank you for the world, tired and groaning though it may be, still beautiful and filled with so much potential. Lord, there are parts of Swindon where the brightness of yellow of the daffodils is already there, where nature is breaking through the earth and reminding us of new life. The beauty of the flowers that welcome us into the church and at the front. We thank you because it is beautiful and filled with so much potential. Help us to reflect and display your glory. Help us to work together for the care of our shared home. We thank you that you have blessed us with the presence of each other, every nation and community filled with beautiful and gifted people, each called to be fully who you made them to be, called to be co-workers with you. We thank you for the gifts of immigrants and refugees and the many blessings they bring to our communities. We thank you for the gift of your young people, filled with hopes and fears, dreams and ambitions, that they may inspire and challenge us to be better. We thank you for those who have been part of our community for many, many years. The story keepers, the history makers, the caretakers. May they experience your presence and wisdom and continue to enrich our lives. We thank you for the diverse nature of your people, each imbued with dignity and each worthy of value and respect. Thank you for inspiring so many to lift up their voices against the sin of racism, injustices, sexism. But we still lament that so many voices are silenced, ignored, forgotten. For those who are shouted over or made to feel irrelevant, move in power, God of justice, so that we no longer have to witness violence and loss of life, so that we may no longer have to witness miscarriages of justice and misuse of power, so that we no longer have to fight against systems of control and oppression to make people understand that every human being has dignity that needs to be seen, recognized, and respected. Lord, we thank you that we can meet together here in this place as part of the partnership and as your family, the world around. We give thanks and praise for the progress made, that we can sing joyfully, that we can cry out in anguish, giving voice to our lament, that we can pray in hope together for a better future. We seek the power of your Holy Spirit to guide, empower, and sustain us. And as part of your family, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now from Sing Praise, hymn 299, O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today.
Thank you. please.
And David will now lead us in the readings this morning.
The first reading is page 110 of the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 2, and then 9 to 28. The Lord God spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another, and you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor, you shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take any vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And then from the New Testament, Matthew, it's chapter 5, reading from, it's 20, I'll get there in a minute, 38 to 48. Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, David. The anthem sung by the choir, Ave Verum Corpus, which is an anthem that leads us in our thoughts and preparation for the communion. We come before you, dear God, and there are some days that your will expressed in its written form seems impossible. And yet, through the guidance of the Spirit, we pray that you walking with us and us walking with you may bring and live the good news. Amen. Conflicting times have nothing new, but we live in a time of excessive conflicting times, where many people's lives are in turmoil. As I said, we've been lighting the peace candle for 52 weeks. Again, we've dedicated somebody to our prayers and commitment in the amnesty situation. We live in a time where life seems to have become a commodity, which is bought and sold on the marketplace for tuppence, where the environment is attacked and the disaster happens. Earthquakes, cyclones, floods, droughts. Where the arms trade allows wars to flourish. Where prejudice and discrimination undermine the lives of so many, and where economic systems create more and more poverty and push vulnerable people to the margins, and where the media spits out its bias that often goes uncontested. Difficult times that we can't ignore. It's there. Very sadly, for many people in this world, pain, sadness, and death. And as a time like we haven't had for a long time in our own country, the strikes. People who before were living well, now depending on food banks. The choice that we read, that parents give up a meal so that kids can have their meal. You know what I'm talking about. You see it, you read it. It makes you cross. It affects our lifestyle. We can't do the things we'd like to do, and yet for some people, it is truly, truly a life and death situation. And in a world like this, in a context like this, we hear the word of God. Does it say anything? These two readings that David read for us just now are quite a mouthful. Both of them come from books which are often quoted, yes, and then left aside. We've read them. Dear God, help us forget them as soon as we possibly can. Because if we don't forget them, we would start asking questions on why do they make us feel uncomfortable. The Sermon on the Mount, a collection of short teachings which people admire, things that Jesus said and Matthew collected, and then Luke has his own version, not on the mountain, in the valley, but you get the idea. And very moving and very beautiful, the Beatitudes and the teachings. And the reading today just finished chapter 5. We've still got chapters 6 and 7 to come along. But why aren't they taken seriously? The same with Leviticus. In my limited understanding, I think there's only one verse that gets thrown to us every so often. The one verse of Leviticus that people, some people, know off by heart, which tries to separate people, and to them, these that throw it out and spit it out with all venom, feel it should be applied literally word by word. But then they turn over the page and the same logic is not applied to anything that follows. Why? And yet, at the beginning of the reading of Leviticus today, that David read for us a few moments ago, we hear the words, "Be holy as God is holy." Do we realize what that means? I love the interpretation or the adaptation of these words, not losing the spirit, but making it probably a little bit more accessible. Basically, it says, "Be more like me," says God. "Be more like me." Can we respond, in the words of the title that you have for this Sunday in the weekly news, "Challenge accepted. We are going to try to be more like God." The book of Leviticus in the readings of the Common Lectionary appears only once for today. And those churches that have chosen to go for the Transfiguration don't even get that privilege. Because it was after I'd prepared the sermon that somebody said, "Oh, but it's Transfiguration Sunday." I'd forgotten about that. I thought this was, I don't know, more important, but equally. It's rarely read and not often preached about. It didn't happen in one day. Not one day did somebody sit down and write from beginning to end. It is collected over about 300 years, back in the 500s before the Christian era, until closer to the end of the 300s. The instructions in Leviticus emphasize ritual, fulfilling the legal and moral practices, when to go to church, what not to do. It talks about things that would make us feel uncomfortable if I got up and read them publicly, and if you heard them. It talks about sexual practices. It talks about women's menstruation. It talks about men and with their own difficulties and health problems. It talks about the famous lepers and what to do and what not to do. It's a long list of things. It's not so much about belief. It's about doing things. And yet, it always reminds us that God, from the very beginning, chose to live with humans. Even when he knew there were mistakes. Do you remember back in the Garden of Eden, when they'd eaten the fruit, and they were hiding because they suddenly realized they were naked? There we are. The Bible has nakedness in the first third chapter. I mean, scandalous book it is, isn't it? And God says, "I'm going to walk around the garden and have a chat with my friends. Hey, where are you?" "Oh, we're hiding." "But I want to be close to you." "And why are you hiding?" "Oh, we mess things up. We're naked. I mean, I created you. I'm not going to see anything I haven't seen before," says God. "Oh, but no, we've got to put distance." I'm making a bit of a parody, but it goes along those lines. God chooses to live with human beings. The book of Leviticus teaches the importance of the temple rituals and avoiding sin and impurity whenever possible. And this is noticeable in the passage we have heard today. The den is taken up by Jesus, as you also heard this morning. It is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 3 out of 4, not bad gospels. The centrality of loving God and neighbor as an undivided instruction. And Matthew picks up the challenge of Leviticus. You probably realized. He changes the words slightly. "Be perfect, like the Father in heaven is perfect." Again, God saying, "Be more like me." When are we going to say, "Dear God, challenge accepted. We need to be more like you"? What very often happens is that what we try to do is make God more like us instead of us being more like God. Both the readings today show us in no uncertain terms what love of God is all about and how we can be part of that love, being more like God. These readings show us that the kingdom of God is not something far away, impossible, out of reach, but something that is built day by day, moment by moment, in how we live, how we behave, what we pray for, what we ask God to change us. What it means accepting the challenge to be more like God. And it's not something for a few. Go back to the very beginning of the reading in chapter 19 of Leviticus. And we read, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel." Speak to all people. Not to this group only, or to that group only. Speak to them all, because all have the possibility of living this. And it depends on who we are and what we have. But there it is. Both these readings tell us that holiness is how we act in the everyday, in our relationships, at work, at home, how we treat other people. For example, the first example that appears, without that, there would be no book of Ruth. Ruth would have never got in to the genealogy of Jesus. It would never be mentioned that Ruth is an ancestor of Jesus. How we harvest and leave part of the harvest so that the poor and the alien are provided for. Don't collect all the seed. Don't collect all the grapes. Don't pick up what's fallen. Leave for those who don't have. Not taking what is not ours. And that includes telling the truth. Just relations with our neighbors. One that resonates so strongly in the world in which we live today. Pay your laborer. Don't withdraw the money you are owed to your laborer. Not upsetting those who live with difficulties. Don't be a stumbling block to those who don't see too well. Don't cheat with those who don't hear. Administer a justice that is fair. Not gossiping or slandering or holding grudges. So you see, it's a selection for everybody. We are not all judges administering judgment, but we do judge people. We can be gossipers or slanderers. Sometimes it's quite juicy. It often begins something quite innocent. "Have you heard?" The tone of voice lowers because you're involved. You're invited to become part of a secret I know and you don't. Just relations with our neighbors. And I go back, paying the laborer for their work in a just, life-sustaining way. That's what Leviticus is talking about. And it says, and this is for all the congregation. Holiness, then, is not only for God. Be holy as God is holy. Be perfect as God is perfect. God makes it easier. Be more like me. It involves the church. It involves each one of us. And we can hear Jesus, who again is setting out the vision of the kingdom. Genuine and unconditional love. Not being part of the cycle of injustice, not replicating violence or abuse of power. Jesus says all this by simply reminding us what is new and what is possible. You have heard, but let me tell you what is challenging, what can be done. It's all about working together for a new world. For all people. That is the challenge. Wednesday we begin Lent. and that is the preparation for Easter. It is for the words in the reading of today that finally they are going to judge Jesus and find him lacking. He's a subversive character affecting the integrity of the state and religion. And he deserves to be crucified for this, for loving your neighbor, for speaking about justice. Some people find that very dangerous. That's why the church years ago decided that amnesty was something they were going to sustain. And over the years, we have presented cases and people who need our prayers and our support through letters. We've been thinking about the woman in Iran. In today's newspaper, you're going to read the case of a radio of Iran that has had to leave England because MI5 has told them that they have been threatened and they have to find safety because out of the country they have been speaking about what goes on and the regime is not happy. I believe the brokenness of the world that I mentioned at the beginning and just now is due to the indifference of the vision of the kingdom presented in the two readings today. It's too easy to ignore these words because they become a challenge. And on the spur of the moment, we will say we'll accept the challenge. But it's hard work. We are challenged today to empathy and solidarity in the midst of what seems selfishness and indifference, to be the voice of those whose voice has been marginalized and they have been shut up by the abuse of power, to believe in the vision of the new world in the kingdom where oppression of the vulnerable and the poor seems to delete and obliterate all possible dreams. How then are we to become alternatives to this lifestyle that the world is imposing? By living the kingdom. By saying to God, I want to be a little bit more like you are. In what I do, in what I say, in how I live, and in what I pray for. And this will become visible in a few moments when we share the broken bread and take up the cup of the new covenant. This body, this bread that is broken, reminds you of my broken body. This cup that you share is the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And the United Reformed Church has always emphasized this is an open table for all who feel that they want to come closer to God. So this is the challenge. May we truly say, challenge accepted. We want to be more like you, dear God. Amen. From Sing Praise, hymn 176, omitting the second verse, let us build a house where love can dwell, and all can safely live. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Thank you. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Let us come together in a moment together to pray for our world. Comforting God, we know that the news coming into our homes shocks us. We have watched the rising death toll in Turkey and Syria with a sense of disbelief and pain. We thank you for those who have worked tirelessly to find and help those trapped. We pray for your solace for those who are desperate for news. May those who have died rest in your peace. May those now building lives without them be comforted. Comforting God, we pray for your love. But this is not the only natural disaster that we have watched unfold. Fires, floods, droughts affecting people across the world. This week we offer prayers for New Zealand and the surrounding area as the cyclone brings devastation and destruction in its wake. Loving God, we pray for safety. We continue to pray for an end to the pointless war in Ukraine. We pray for those who stand and fight to defend their homes, land, and way of life. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who have died when a solution seems so far away, when men with power intimidate and bully for their own gain, when normal lives are destroyed so pointlessly. God of peace, we pray for your loving peace to bring hope to this dreadful mess. We bring to you our fears for rising violent crimes in our own communities. We pray that those who feel they have to carry weapons will see the pointlessness of what they are doing. We pray that we might all be able to walk in safety, and thank you for those who work to make our communities safer. You created a community founded in love. Help us to make communities that are more Jesus-shaped. As we pray for the things that are in the headlines, we don't forget those places and people whose stories are now second-page news. We pray for those reliant on food banks, especially now school holidays are here and need has grown. We pray for those who are challenged by choice of food or warmth. We pray for those who feel unsafe in their own homes, for those who have had to flee for safety, for refugees unsafe again in this country, for those intimidated and hurt for being who they are, for what they believe, for all they long to be. God of relationships and community, we pray for a world that is fairer. Lord, in these moments of quietness and silence, guide us to a positive view which goes beyond the pain and wrong. You have given us beauty in our world, our families, our friends, our church and community, spring a new life. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, God made their glowing colours, God made their tiny wings. Dear God, give us strength when we are weak, love when we feel forsaken, courage when afraid, wisdom when we feel foolish, comfort when we feel alone, hope when we feel rejected, and peace when in turmoil. Accept these and all our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, John. We now share what we have been able to set apart for the offering, and please be reminded that we are still collecting for the emergency fund for Turkey and Syria. As we thank you for what we have received from you, we pray that the offering, what is in the plate and what we give in different ways, the offering for the emergency fund, for the disaster in Syria and Turkey, may be a sign of your love, of things that can be done differently, of our commitment to being a bit more like you. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. We prepare for communion by singing hymn 107 from Rejoice and Sing, The Love of God Comes Close, where stands an open door to let the stranger in, to mingle rich and poor. The love of God. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is open to all who seek to love God, to know more of God. Come with your worries, your fears, your doubts, with your questions. God does not close the door. Jesus said, "I am the door through which you can come and go." As we gather at the table of Jesus, we tell the story of God as beginning and breath and speak of the gifts of God, the beauty and the bounty of the earth, the guidance that guides and orders community, prophets and poets that paint a vision, songs and stories that feed the soul, and the Word made flesh that walked among us to heal and to herald, to embrace children and to feed the hungry, to speak truth to power and to shake the pillars of the establishment. We remember the tenderness and the fearlessness of Jesus. We remember his power and his passion. We remember his nonviolent witness, his willingness to stand up to violence and domination, to the death for the reign of God. By the grace of God, the Spirit of Jesus lives among us, and all who long for the reign of God and are willing to enter it. May the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding be with you now and evermore. Amen. Jesus sat at the table with his friends, and he took bread, and he gave thanks for the gifts of wheat of the field and the labor of human hands, and he broke the bread and offered it to each, saying, "This bread is my body, broken for you. Eat and remember." And after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks for the fruit of the vine and the tenderness of the human heart, and offered it and said, "This is the cup of the promise, the cup of mercy. Share it. Let your love grow through it. Drink and remember. Pour out your spirit on this bread and this wine, on the food gathered for those in need, and on us gathered here, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, blessed, broken, and shared. Amen." We share the bread that we receive, are nourished in body, in soul, and in mind. the bread that is broken, we eat in memory of him. And when they'd finished eating, Jesus shared the cup with them, the cup of the new covenant, of the new promise, and he asked them to share. The cup of the promise, the cup of love, drink in memory of him. Bread broken and shared makes us whole. The cup poured out fires our love. Dear God, you have given us all that we need. Help us to live our lives in courage and joy and serve in your name. Amen. Our closing hymn from the Emmanuel Worship Book. It's number 49. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for all throughout the earth.
Thank you.
Go in peace, nurtured by the communion of being together and with God, by the challenge of the word, and by the reality in which we live in. We go in faith, in hope and love, to praise God and to serve God's creation. Go in peace. Be blessed. Amen.